Hey everyone, Dave Guerra here from BerlinBrigade.com podcast, and we're doing a very special brief podcast today, or this little section. We're not even going to advertise it online, as it's an online only. It means you got to come to the podcast archives, and that's the only way you're listening to it, because that's where you found it. Seriously, we're continuing the with the interview with Inga Nye, and this is the missing section. It's where I asked her about where she was when the wall came down, and what were her impressions, and she's got some really good stuff to tell us. So, enough hearing me. Let's just dive right back into the interview. Here we are today. Listen, but speaking now, we're talking about that wall. And this is going to kind of become the standard question for any guest and any future guest that we're going to have. So, future guest, if you're listening, be ready for this question. The wall comes down. Where were you? What were you doing? And what was the first thing you thought about?
Where was I when the wall came down? I had just come home from a contact club meeting, the German-American contact club that had its little outposts, I think mostly in Frankfurt. There was one other town, and then in Berlin. We had our meetings always on Thursday night. And so I came home, I think it was about 7:30, and I still lived with my parents in those days. And I come home opening up the door, and when you open up the door to my parents' apartment, you'll have a little area where you take off your coats, and then there's a door that you see through into the living room, and then you'll see the television. And there's a television on, and my mom turns around, sees me, raises up her arms, and screams, "The wall is down, the wall is down, they opened the wall." And I look at her in disbelief, and I say, "What?" I said, "You're kidding." The reason why I said that was a lot of her family, or most of her family, was still in East Berlin. So we actually grew up with this divided city in both sides. We had parts of the family in West Berlin. We had most side of her family in East Berlin. So we were regularly visiting them. And now, actually, this idea of that the wall would be open, they could come to visit us, we could go to visit them, was just, I'm like, wait a second, I got to see these news now. So I go in there and I look at the news, and I'm thinking, this can't be possible. And I thought, the world is never going to be the same. And now trouble starts. And I didn't want to share that with my mom. I didn't say a thing. She was just so overjoyed for, you know, being able to actually see the relatives and not having to go through all of that, but also, you know, of course, the victory that came with it. And I just looked at it and I thought, you know, we're going to have economic problems. We're going to have political struggles. It's all going to be there. I just instantly knew. Don't ask me how. I just knew. And so I listened to the news. And still, you know, it was so incredible. You know, nobody really seemed to believe it. And like I said earlier, you know, we were living very close to the wall. It was just 10 minutes from us. And the checkpoint down in Rudow, towards Schönefeld Airport, actually, we decided not to go down there. There were many others that did go down there. But the situation to us seemed so unstable that, you know, we were afraid that if we go there, they, I don't know, might bring the border closer, you know, to West Berlin. They might do something stupid, them, of course, being the GDR and maybe the Soviet. So we just decided to stay put at home and watch it unfold on television. And that was just really enough for me. And I'm not a big fan of huge mass events, actually. So there were just too many people on the streets. But I thought, this is history in the making. This is absolutely wonderful. You got to go and see it. And then my dad came home at about, I think it was 10 o'clock. And he's like, gosh, you got to see this. This is crazy. He came from a meeting, I think in Wedding, a Red Cross meeting of some sort. And he was like, boy, you can't drive through the city. You know, there are just cars everywhere, and there are these trabbies and people on the streets, and it's just absolutely mayhem. And, you know, so we took it all in. We went to bed. Everybody, you know, was here again, afraid that they would shut down the wall one more time. And I couldn't hear anything from my then boyfriend, because, you know, he was locked up in McNair. I think they were on red alert. I don't remember the exact status at the time. But of course, they couldn't leave the barracks, from what I remember. And please correct me if I'm not correct on that. That, you know, there's nothing worse than repeating incorrect history. And, you know, so we thought, well, we get up the next day and see what happens. Well, and I don't remember if it was the same night or the next day, the Chancellor Kohl and the West German government, made this announcement that every GDR adult would receive 100 Deutschmarks, you know, when showing their passport at the banks, and every child would receive 50 marks so that they would have some spending money and they could go and get groceries. So in Rudo, there at where we lived, we had this little strip mall, and there was a bank in it. And the lines were so incredibly long. I mean, when you come out from that strip mall, you take a couple of stairs downstairs. There's this huge area where you have a flea market, or actually a farmer's market, on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And this entire area was just crowded with people. You know, they were all standing in line to receive their money. We had the first Trabis parking in the street, and we're like, what do they want here? They're on the wrong side. You know, they need to go someplace else. It was so surreal, and you know, it just didn't seem right. Wow. And so, you know, now looking back at it, I can say, yes, I was there, and yes, it was exciting. But back in those days, oh, man, it just couldn't be. This was incredible. And interestingly enough, the same feeling of, wow, this is incredible, this is huge, you know, people are honking the horns, driving through the streets, you know, screaming and yelling and waving their arms and whatnot. The same experience I had, and everybody else who was not a San Antonio Spurs fan, please forgive me, was when the Spurs won their third championship. You know, it was just the same. You know, the clock was over. You know, people were announcing, "Oh, go to the next sporting goods store in order to get your championship souvenir." So we were driving down to the store. You know, and it was just the same. I was like, "Wow!" You know, if you want to know what this was like, you know, this is what it was like. So of course, you know,
except for the Trabants. There were no Trabants, right?
Right, exactly. You know, it's like deja vu all over again. Right. And some people then even asked me, while I was in the States, well, what was it really like? You know, what did it feel like? And I said, you know, imagine what would happen if Mexico came back and decided to take this entire area north of the border, like Texas, Arizona, you know, and so on. You know, I mean, what would you do? What would you feel like? And they look at me and they're like, oh, okay, I understand now. You know, so it's here again, looking back at it now, I'm like, wow, I was part of history. This is awesome. You know, so yeah, that's where we were. That's what we did. We celebrated the first Christmas together with an uncle and an aunt of mine who have passed away since. That was a very, very happy meeting because they were too young to actually, you know, cross the border legally beforehand, since you had to be, the ladies had to be 60s, the men had to be 65. We were able to celebrate, you know, New Year's together. And we had this couple from the company, from my husband's unit that actually stayed with us. So we had an all-international reunited New Year's Eve party. Mm. And we're still talking about that, you know, because Andy and Tina Bell, I don't know if you're listening. I hope you guys are doing great. We've been thinking about you a lot. They were from North Carolina. And my husband then, you know, we had a great time together with my uncle and aunt, you know, and so yeah, and here's that smile again, you know. There was something else that I wanted to share, and I forgot about it. Hopefully it was a little flash that came back, and I thought I need to mention this. Oh, maybe it'll come to me in a little bit.
Okay, maybe. No problem.
Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed this interview with Inga. As always, she is invited to come back, and if you've got anything to ask her while she's in Berlin, drop me a note. I'll forward it on to her. She'll get back with you directly. Again, let's not forget the special project she's working on. And so again, she wants to hear your stories and your impressions of your time in Berlin. So again, same thing. Just drop me a note here at podcast@berlinbrigade.com. And just make it to attention to Inga, and I will forward it on over to her. I thank you for listening to this quick special podcast, actually, mini podcast. There we go. Anyway, y'all take it easy and get ready for another exciting episode. Thanks.